Hello, and welcome to our NABBW teleseminar for August 2012. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, B. Lynn Goodwin, who is the author of the book You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers, and operates the website writeradvice.com, which is found at www.writeradvice.com. And Lynn and I will be discussing the topic of how to own the power of journaling. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage a bit. For those of you who do not know me, I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com, and we have a forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com, as well as our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/NABBW. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords baby boomer women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the front page of the NABBW website, which you can use to join. This call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We have recordings of approximately 90 past teleseminars, which are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't see them on the site unless you're a member, however, as we keep them in the members-only area. I do hope that you think all of these calls, especially since they're all free teleseminars like this one, are on interesting and exciting topics, and that you'll sign up for future calls that we do as well. All you have to do is get onto our mailing list, and we'll let you know about future calls as they come along. Now, as to the format of the call today, get yourself comfortable and make sure that in addition to having something to drink, you have paper and pencil to take notes, as the topics that we're going to talk about tonight are fascinating, and I'm sure that you'll want to have some record of what we discussed. For the next 30 minutes or so, I'll have the phone lines muted, and Lynn Goodwin and I will be talking. After that, I will open the lines for questions from the audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, just use the box on your computer screen to type in your question. I'll see them as they come in, and then I'll relay them to Lynn as the time is appropriate. In a moment, I will give you some background on today's guest, B. Lynn Goodwin, and then she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing our topic of the day, how to own the power of journaling. So let's get started. I am delighted to introduce our guest, B. Lynn Goodwin. B. Lynn is the author of You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers, and is the owner and editor of Writer Advice, which, as I mentioned before, is found at www.writeradvice.com. Her work has appeared in Voices of Caregivers, Hip Mama, the Oakland Tribune, the Contra Costa Times, the Danville Weekly, Staying Sane When You're Dieting, Small Press Review, Dramatic Events, Career, We Care, ThickJam.com, Friction Magazine, and The Sun. A year ago, she wrote under contract for CaregiverVillage.com and StudySync.net, which is a site for students, I believe. She loves journaling and hopes that she'll give you the courage to try, continue, or expand your work and empower yourself. Please help me welcome B. Lynn Goodwin.
Thank you so much, Ann. That's a very nice welcome.
Oh, I'm glad. It's all true, Lynn, so, you know.
It is, and it's very impressive to hear.
Well, Lynn, before I launch into my questions, let me give you, if you'd like, a brief opportunity to tell our listeners what led you to write the book, You Want Me to Do What? Caregiving for, or Journaling for Caregivers, which, by the way, I failed to mention, is available in a variety of different outlets, but perhaps when you're telling us a little bit about what got you started on the book, you can tell people where they can find it as well.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of it. The quickest way to find it is on Amazon.com. Or you can go to the Journaling for Caregivers page on Writer Advice. There's a link to it right on the headline as you come in. Uh-huh. And you click on that, goes to the page, and you can click on order online. It does not commit you to ordering, but you can see it at the site, the publisher's site. But I love your question, what led me to start journaling again? It's a very valid question. and hearing it right now, I realize how far I have come from then. I believe it was June 2nd of either 95 or 96, a long time ago, my mother called me up on a Saturday morning, and she said, the strangest thing just happened. I was at the refrigerator, and then I was in the dining room, and then I was back in the kitchen, and then I was in the dining room, and then I was back in the kitchen, but my hand never left the refrigerator door. And something was not right there, obviously. And then she said something even more telling. She said, can you come over and help me? My mother was a very proud, feisty, successful, attractive, independent woman. And she did not ask for help, especially from her daughters. And so I knew something was off. And when I got there, she told me she'd called an ambulance. She knew she needed to go to the hospital. And everything was fine. Everything would be perfect. But she just needed to go to the bathroom, and she couldn't stand up. So she asked if she could put her hands on my shoulders, and I would walk her to the bathroom. And in a way, that became a metaphor for the next 6 years. We didn't know what was wrong. I thought she was dying one cell at a time. And life got a little squirrely and a little squirrelier, and I assumed that she was becoming more of herself, and I was just less and less able to cope, and there must be something wrong with me. And the only way I could get perspective was to write about it in my journal. So that's where this particular journaling journey began. I would find a place where I could just sit and write for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And first I would vent, and then I would process, and then I would start to see her part and my part and get some perspective and even make plans. And I think it may have saved my sanity. I was taking care of her alone. I didn't know until almost 6 years later that she had undiagnosed Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
It was her brain that was, well, maybe my brain was a little squirrely too by then, but she had lost some cognitive abilities, and I just thought I wasn't giving her the proper data for her to process, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But journaling really helped me to turn it around. And then I was talking with a writer buddy one day who said she was going to write a book of prompts for authors, and a little voice right outside of my head, which comes to me once in a while, said journaling for caregivers. And I suddenly realized that caregivers should all be journaling, but most of them probably weren't doing it either because they didn't know they should be journaling or they didn't feel they had time to journal. And I had solutions for all of those problems, and I knew that all they needed was somebody to help them get started, and they too could process what they were going through and keep their sanity while caring for their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story in a nutshell.
Excellent. Well, now, when you did the, when you started the journaling with your mother's situation, was that the first that you had done journaling, or had you journaled before that?
I had journaled. I have an old journal from when I was in college. And I journaled intermittently, very intermittently, when I was teaching in several places and directing shows. I wish I'd done more journaling about the directing shows. I went back to it in, I think, 97 when I discovered Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and her writing about the morning pages, which you're supposed to do every day for, you know, every day, every morning you write 3 pages longhand, doesn't matter what you write. It's to simply get past wherever you are and open up your creative spirit. And I do a lot of that, but now I always figure it's morning somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I can journal whenever I choose to. I can journal in whatever way I choose to. And that was really the start of all of this. My mother got sick in 96. I began the journaling in 97, and the two came together. I was also working on a young adult novel at that time, and I had been asked to co-edit an email newsletter called Haven's List, which has morphed into writer advice, what I have online today.
Okay.
So it all just sort of evolved.
Well, I think that's a good way for things to happen. It means you didn't force anything. It just came naturally,
yeah.
It sounds like.
Yes.
Now,
it came as it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Would you tell us a little bit about, because I'm not sure that everybody is clear on this. I'm not even sure if I'm clear on this. How do you see that a journal is different from a diary?
A journal is an extension of a diary, I would say. If you're writing a diary, you record what happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're writing a journal, you may also record what happened that day. You may be selective, and people do that in diaries as well. You may become reflective, which doesn't usually happen in a diary. A diary is a little more superficial than a journal. You may let your topics wander, which is forget what you were taught in 10th grade English. It's a good thing when you're journaling to let your topics wander. People don't do that as much in diaries. A diary is a little like an expanded date book.
Mm-hmm.
A journal is a little like an expanded record of your life and your reactions to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think it does. So I think if I'm understanding what you're saying about a journal, you could have a journal that would be about any number of topics. It could be journaling about your reactions to a trip that you make, or it could be journaling about...
Absolutely. You can journal about a trip. If you were doing that, you might well include what you saw, how it made you feel, what it made you want to do with your life. You might put a few pictures in your journal to show what you're writing about. You might write about your companions on the trip and relationships with people that are evolving,
mm-hmm.
people you want to see again, people you're grateful you'll never have to see again after the trip.
Mm-hmm.
You might write about the culture you're visiting and the surprises and the things you're learning. And then your mind might take off and you might remember Great Aunt May talking about a time when she went to England. And while England has very little to do with India now, you can see a tie-in between what she said and the way India is now. And you can just go wherever the writing takes you.
Okay. Now, along the same lines, another way that people express themselves with words these days is blogging. So how about the difference between journaling and blogging?
Sometimes there's absolutely no difference at all in terms of content.
Mm-hmm.
But a blog doesn't stay up too long.
Okay.
Yeah, blogs move along. You can keep your journals forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only going to get comments on your journal if you invite someone to read it and comment. But many blogs are open and to comments and invite comments. And so the writer might be a little more guarded on a blog. It's a little more public.
All right.
Could even be a public journal. I have a friend right now who is blogging, and it really is a journal, and she's doing some incredible stuff on it. It's called the Daisy Pages / blog. And hers really merges blogging and journaling because she's kept the people she's talking about anonymous.
Okay.
For reasons that turned out to be quite important.
All right. Well, now let's talk a little bit about privacy because, you know, you've pointed out that a blog is generally much more public. How do you go about keeping a journal private?
Oh, I have a great number of ways you can do this. If you are journaling in cursive, nobody's going to go past the first paragraph unless you have pristine Palmer handwriting, and how many of us have that?
Mm-hmm.
In addition, they're no longer teaching cursive in school, apparently, so Don't worry about it if it's in cursive. If you want to be sure that nobody finds themselves in your journal, you can use initials. You can make up code names. You can write in initials. Sometimes I will put something in my journal that I don't want anybody to know what I'm saying, and I just write the first letter of every word. If I come back to it and I recognize it, then it was something that was meant to be saved. And if I come back to it and I don't know what those initials mean, then I was supposed to write it and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I write certain things to God that are in initials.
Okay. Fascinating.
But quite seriously, if you write in cursive, you really don't have to, especially if it's not big cursive.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to struggle with this for very long in this day and age. And the language is changing so rapidly, and the way we spell everything is changing so much with texting, that it's just not going to be a problem, which is kind of unfortunate, because there are some wonderful documentations that people have discovered from grandmothers and great-grandmothers that nobody would be able to read 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So privacy is really not a problem unless you turn it into a problem. Oh, I forgot what you can do if you journal on computer. What you do is you put them all together in a file and you label it medical records, 2003.
Good plan.
Yeah. Nobody will disturb it, and nobody's going to look in it before they delete it once you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's only an issue in our heads because we become self-conscious about what if. There's a wonderful Annie Lamott thing that's going around on Facebook. If people didn't want you to write that way about them, they should have treated you better.
Mm-hmm.
Words to that effect. You just don't have to worry about it. Let it go.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about how when you started journaling as you were caring for your mother, what did you discover about journaling at that time?
It allowed me to slow down and breathe and think things through. There is something about the process of putting pen to paper that helps you look at moments differently.
Mm-hmm.
And partly it's because you have to go one letter at a time. You can go very quickly through the letters, but it's not the same blurt that spoken language can be. It forces you to take a different look. And if it's staring back at you on the page, that seems to have, somehow at times it just looks different when you see what you sprawled out onto the page. And then if you read it over, you're going to realize the things you missed. And some of them are things you needed to say both for your sake and for the sake of the other person. And stories get developed out of that kind of thing. In terms of how it's helped me, it gave me a lot of perspective, but even more importantly, I think it helped me hop off a hamster wheel that I was on, where the thoughts would just go round and round faster and faster and more dire, and what if, what if, what if. And I couldn't get off that hamster wheel any other way.
Mm-hmm.
The journal became my person to talk to, my silent best friend. It allowed me to finish a sentence without interruption. It went at the same pace I did. My mother spoke very slowly because she was gathering words and getting them through the places where she had plucks and tangles in her brain, which I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go nuts waiting for her to finish a sentence. And they knew it wasn't her fault that I couldn't get to that level. And the journal helped me process this kind of thing.
Okay.
So it was a huge, enormous help to me. Journaling is a help for many people beyond caregivers. And while I wanted to specifically inform caregivers, I kind of wish that I'd made the book journaling for everyone, because whether people are writers, parents, teachers, nurses, doctors, lawyers, business people, multitaskers, sports people, newspaper people, all of the above, everybody's got a story to tell that just needs to come out and be on the paper and can be transcribed and put into bigger pieces if you want, but it's such a wonderful foundation and core.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you just, this morning I wrote about some stuff that's been running through my head about a relationship I care very much about and some fears and some legitimate issues that are going on that I have trouble getting out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some perspective and some strategies just from writing about it.
All right. So you're saying that writing about it gives you a chance to, as you just said, get perspective, get a little bit of distance so
yes.
you can see things that you didn't see if you have it just being the hamster wheel situation.
Exactly. And it also allows you to go beneath the surface, if you will, and figure out motivations, figure out what you really mean to say, and start making discoveries that just aren't apparent on a conscious level about what's really going on in relationships and various life situations. I sometimes think if certain politicians had time to journal, they might vote differently. No guarantee, but they might.
Yes.
Yep. Lovely fantasy.
Right. Okay, well, you've said a number of really crucial things there. You've talked about that more than caregivers could benefit from having a journal. So let's take that a step further and say, I'll ask you the question of what are some of the ways that you use journaling or how ways that other people in other walks of life might use journaling?
That's a really good question. I often include in my journaling, I included a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, number one, it helps me organize my day. And number two, I have such fun crossing things off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other times when I make a list of what I have done as opposed to a to-do list. I'm keeping a record. I'm providing myself with material for further writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving myself a sense of accomplishment. So journals are a great place to keep lists. And sometimes the list will go on, and pretty soon you're writing prose, not a list, and you're journaling again. I have written letters in my journals. I also sometimes write letters in email format because it really helps me to envision the person I'm writing to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've been known, once I'm all done and it's exactly what I would want to send, I will copy it into Word, print it out, and scotch tape it in my journal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my journaling for that day. So letters are really good. There are many, many people who write poetry in their journals, and that does not come to me automatically, although I do believe that anybody who can who reads and writes in English can be a poet.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I do in my journal? I sometimes make assumptions, and then I explain to myself why those assumptions are false. And that's just a kind of journaling in face-to-face to ramble, and rambling can be productive because it's like taking rooms for the cobwebs and getting a clean sweep, all the cobwebs are out of the way, and then you get to see the real surface.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the same thing with writing, telling your story with seeing your truths. Some of my journals include a paragraph about what is going on in the world on a particular day, especially if there's been a shooting at the opening of Dark Night in Aurora, Colorado,
right,
or somebody has dropped out of a political race, or there are increased attacks in Syria, and it puts whatever else I write in a different frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your journal is your own. If a person draws, they can draw in the journal. If they want to cut out pictures and include those, they can in the journal. And in fact, depending on how our workshop is set up, there's an easy way for me to share photos at one point. One of the options will be to pick a photo that says something to you and write on that, and I'll give more specifics about how to do that in the workshop. But there are all kinds of ways to use it. If you should get stuck for a start, a great way to do it is to start with the sensory detail. For example, at this moment I feel a bit of air moving across the tops of my bare feet. And it's probably from the ceiling fan that's going for force.
Mm-hmm.
And I might start with air wafting over, it's not wafting, air pushing over the tops of my bare feet and take it from there, see where I go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of my favorites is to look at where the light is coming from. There is sunlight shining on my closed mini blinds, and I can see patterns of tree branches and spot sunlight on one of them. And I could start with the sun. Tree branches are darkness, and sunshine is light, or something of that nature. I could start with the sound of a train in the distance, or if it's very still, the sounds of the cars on 680 pushing past 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could start with the bark of a dog if my dog still barked.
Okay.
You start with any sensory detail at all. Steam rising up from a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Get you started. You can use the journal in whatever way suits you. If you are a student, you can write about an assignment that has come to you. Why you want to do it, why you don't want to do it, you don't know where to start. And once you write, I don't know where to start, you're going to start coming up with places to start. Maybe I could go to Google. Maybe I should read such and such. Maybe what I really need to do is find so-and-so and interview that person and see what they suggest.
Mm-hmm.
One idea leads to another. And I had another great idea, and it just flew out of my brain. I think it's circling overhead.
Okay.
Well, but more will come. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a few months ago, I did a teleseminar with a woman named Linda Campanella. And she's the author of a book. She never expected to be an author, and she never intends to write another book in her life, but this book that she wrote is called When All That's Left of Me Is Love, A Daughter's Story of Letting Go, and it's a story of when she was caretaking her mother who died, and she, I believe, if I recall the book correctly, she not only incorporates her journal entries into this, but emails that she got from her siblings or pictures, as you said, pictures of when the family would get together. So she pulled all of that together personally, just for herself, but eventually she decided to give a copy of it to her father as a Christmas present, the first Christmas after her mother died, and then, of course, later she turned it into a book that she published. So to me, that was a revelation, because I never had ever thought about the concept that you're also talking about, which is that a journal can morph into something else.
Absolutely, it can. An awful lot of my writing starts in my journal. In the process of transcribing it, I will see what else is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I start filling in the blanks. It's a little like something between a skeleton and the coloring book with the outlines.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to fill it in as you transcribe. But a journal is just getting it down on the page and figuring out what your truths are and sharing those truths with the book. If they're private truths, you don't need an audience to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is a silent witness to who you are and what you have to say and what you want to tell the world. And once you've told it in the book, it becomes easier to, in the journal, it becomes easier to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge gift of journaling.
All right. Well, that's a very interesting point, but then I'm going to have to play the devil's advocate and say, what if you start to journal and then you feel like that you don't have anything to say? Now, I know you talked about different things that I could start with, the sensory situation. Is that what you would advise?
That's one thing you can do. Another thing is to use sentence starts. And sentence, some people would consider sentence starts prompts. I started writing sentence starts for a wonderful, amazing free writing group I am in. We're following Natalie Goldberg's principles. And for some reason, there was just this desire to have a starting place in case you wanted to use it. So I've been writing sentence starts every month for, since 2003 or 2004, I'm not sure which. And they're 3 to 5 word, one to five word now, opening phrases. You can start with the word after. After what? Whatever you want. Or there might be a whole phrase, after the sun went down. This morning is always a good one to start with. Today I want. Today I need. Today I hope. Today I am afraid. If only. Those are two of my favorite words.
Mm-hmm.
What if? I wonder. When I sit down, when I hear, and then there are just solo words like yesterday, or next week is two words, but next week, swinging. You can start in so many different places. My book has over 200 sentence starts. Whenever I conduct a face-to-face workshop, I give out a couple of copies of the book and ask people to pick a possible sentence start and have the choice of using those or starting on whatever they wanted or whatever they brought in to write about, which is always probably the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear those sentence starts that I wrote, read in somebody else's voice, it opens up a whole new realm of what might be possible with them. And the sentence starts are good for everybody. I don't care who you are, what your walk is in life. If you're a writer and you think, I'm beyond journaling, why not let your character keep a journal for a month and see what you find out about that character, see what that character says to you and to the world. Everybody has some reason to journal.
All right.
And you were asking about starting ideas. There is another way to start, and that would be to start with something you hear somebody say. They could say, hello, dear, and That could be a conversational start. I came up with that one because my husband just walked into the house, and that's what he usually says. But you could be sitting at Starbucks. You could overhear a piece of conversation, have no idea what it's about, and just start with that and make up your own story. You'll be amazed at where it goes and how it ties into your life. One of the joys of journaling is that it's not predictable, and it doesn't need to be predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So ideas are all around us. Oh, and another place, this is just coming to me now. Another place to start is with colors. There's an exercise in Amherst Writers and Artists literature that suggests you write the word red, R-E-D, 10 times. And then you list 10 things that might be red. Red shoes, red belt, red pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on. And look for what has energy for you. Start with that. See where it goes.
All right. So there's all different ways to get
Yeah, there are a million different ways. I'm this is so disorganized, but I'm thinking also about the sentence starts. And I originally started using the sentence starts with my high school actors. When they were developing their characters, I would give the sentence start, and they had to complete it as their character. And at first, they did it in their head while they were walking around in the body of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were doing, you know, it's the third drama class in the day, I started filling them in for myself, and I began realizing how wonderful they were. And in a way, they go all the way back there. But they're just so good for letting you make discoveries. And I think going back to the question about the difference between a diary and a journal, that's another difference, is that you get to make discoveries when you write a journal. But usually when you write a diary, you're making a record.
Mm-hmm.
What happened that day? I often associate diaries with teenage girls, and I love teenage girls.
Right.
But it is on that level. And it's often in that voice, and that voice can be the source of a wonderful book. I once wrote a series called Dear Diary about acting exercises in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from the point of view of Sandy, who was the good, quiet, shy kid.
Okay.
The one most likely to pick up a book. But it was also for drama teachers to see how the exercises look through the eyes of a student. Journaling is really limitless. The more you do it, the better it will get. And if you need to take a vacation or life intervenes, that's what happens. Not a problem. You can always go back to it.
Okay.
The first couple of days you might feel rusty, but if you stick with it, I usually set my cell phone for 20 minutes or 25 mm-hmm. minutes, and if you stick with it that whole time, you're going to start to see the writing muscles in your brain as well as your hand loosening up and more coming out, and by the third day, you're going to be back where you were. So that's another gift.
All right. As short as 3 days, then. So do you have a favorite time of the day for journaling?
Favorite time of the day, sure, whenever the mood strikes me. It used to be first thing in the morning, back when mornings were a whole lot easier than they are right now. Sometimes it's when I go to Starbucks. Sometimes it's when I get an idea I can't let go of. And sometimes it's about 30, 45 minutes into the morning when I'm sort of starting to be cognizant and there's coffee close by.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Cameron recommends first thing in the day. I know it's kind of a silly thing to say, but I always say it's always first thing in the morning somewhere.
Okay.
And so you get to write it any time of the day. And I will sometimes I'll start a journal, walk away for whatever reason, and the minute I walk away, more comes to me and I come back whenever circumstances allow for it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to journal at the end of the day, and I did that for a while. I recently got married, so I don't journal at the end of the day right now. But who knows what might happen in the future.
Okay.
It's just whenever you want to journal. If you find you're not journaling, though, you set a specific time, preferably when there are no kids, husbands, or pets demanding your attention. Or you go out to journal.
Mm-hmm.
I often go out to Starbucks because it's, I guess it's ambient noise around. It's not too quiet. It's not cluttered as this office is. There are no distractions. The laundry doesn't need to be moved from the washer to the dryer. You just have your cup of coffee, your scone or bagel or artisan sandwich if you want it. And people come and go,
mm-hmm.
and their background. Unless you don't want them to be background and you want them to be the subject for some reason.
Okay. All right.
So, do you have other questions? Do we want to take questions from our listeners?
Sure. Why don't I open up the call right now? Don't leave it allowed for us, the two of us, to talk. I've just made the call interactive, so that means anybody who's listening on the call can ask a question, and the best way to do that is for those of you who are listening here, just to speak up. Ask us a question, and we will give you an answer, or Lynn will. Who'd like to be first? Alice? I see someone named Alice, who I thought was starting to talk. No one has any questions? Well,
if nobody has any questions for us, I have a question for the people on the call.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a sentence start. Normally you'd finish the sentence and write the next sentence and just keep going. But I'm only going to ask you to finish the sentence. And there are no wrong answers. The only way you can do it wrong is to not do it. And the sentence start is, today I want. How would you finish that sentence?
Well, I guess the first way I would finish it is, today I want to finish everything on my to-do list.
Ooh, you are ambitious. I like that. I should do one as a sample. Today, I want to enjoy the heat, join my husband who's gone out to the pool, and remember the August 2nd of 1976 when I was a camp counselor and we had a party to celebrate Pinky's birthday.
Okay.
Anybody else? Anybody else at all? Are you guys just being shy? Or are you not there? Or is there a loose connection? Hello, hello?
This is Ann. I'm here, but we do have guests on the call, so they should...
Okay, so we do have shy people out there.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I heard someone.
Okay.
Just acknowledging that I'm here.
Okay, thank you very much. If I crossed out a different sentence start, would you be willing to fill it in with anything? Words in the English language?
Yes.
Okay, new sentence start. At the library,
I found an interesting record.
Oh, I love that, because you know right there, the word record has a multiple meaning. You could have found one of those 33s, and you're going to take it home and put it on your turntable, which gives us a whole bunch of information about you, the character. Or you could have found a historical record, maybe something about your family or government in your town 100 years ago.
There's a lot of a lot of things there on CD that's actually records of things that have happened. And it's nice to check out. So that's what made me think of it.
I think that's great. And that works perfectly well. If you were to go on and write about it, you could write about what was in the CD and why you picked it out and what you were hoping to hear and why you'd rather listen to a CD than read a piece of paper on that particular day.
Yeah.
I should probably say one thing in case there is anybody who's thinking, I can't write because I can't spell. I know there are people out there who are like that. And I got to tell you something. Spelling has nothing to do with writing. I know you didn't learn that in school, but spelling is a process for decoding. It's something very correctable. You hire somebody who can spell it, or you learn to use spell check. Writing is sharing your ideas. And as long as you can read them, you can journal. And if you can't write for a physical reason, get yourself a tape recorder. And that's called writing on the air. So everybody can journal.
Excellent. I was going to ask you about the physical situation because I know my mother always used to tell me, I remember going to camp when I was a kid and all my friends who were in my tent got letters from their mothers every day, and I think I got one letter from my mother, and so I complained to her, "You aren't writing me enough," and she said, "Well, it hurts my hands to write." So I realized that there's people that have something like arthritis or something, so I like the idea of the tape recorder.
Yeah, tape recorders, you can get all sizes, shapes, kinds, and I don't know all of the technologies, but there are little things where you can carry it in your pocket, just press a button, record your ideas. All the CEOs carry them. And so you understand it, so just make yourself the CEO of your life and record your thoughts. Do we have anybody else out there on the call with a question, a thought, an idea, a story?
So let me look in the Q&A part here and see what we've got.
Okay.
If we've left us any questions.
I guess all the class clowns are elsewhere. This clearly is not a 10th grade group. It's to teach 10th graders.
Well, I have several questions here. One of them a couple of them are coming in from Alicia. And she says, in the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Do you think that journaling is a holy process?
Yes, I do. It is very much a holy process. I am, like everybody in the world, I am on a spiritual path, and mine has intensified a bit in the last 3 years. I have no doubt that not only are prayers a holy process, but the process of putting pen to paper and having the courage to let your ideas out of your head and take responsibility for them is a holy process and a part of owning yourself, owning your ideas, owning your beliefs. In the movie, in the book and movie, The Help, the woman who's, the kid calls her AB, and I can't think of her real name, but she wrote all her prayers out, and that was how she learned to write. And yes, it's absolutely a holy process. Like some holy processes, it can be misused and maligned, but yes, it always has the potential to be holy. And that was a beautiful question, and I thank you for it.
All right. I have another question here from Peggy in Centerville, and she says that she'd like to hear more about your book, which I think is a good thing, Lynn, because I was wanting to be sure and remind people that your book is called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers. So perhaps you've told people a little bit about that there are sentence starters in the book, but perhaps you could tell people a little bit more about the book.
Well, I wrote the book to encourage people to write. So the book starts out with encouragement and then some simple instructions for those who need instructions and some samples, and then over 200 sentence starts. There is space to start writing in the book. If you want to write more, you need to get a notebook, or just do it on your computer. Writing is pretty accessible these days. I wrote the book with the idea that a stressed caregiver needs something small that she can slip in her pocket and she can say to her loved one, I have to use the facilities right now. I'll be gone for a few minutes. You'll be okay without me, won't you? And notice I said, won't you, not won't you. And then you go into the bathroom and you can sit on the toilet, you can sit on the floor. Just start writing. At the time I was taking care of my mother, I was also working at a wonderful job in an adult literacy program. But every once in a while, something there would concern, disturb, upset me. And I would take my journal and I would go into the bathroom there and I would just write for 3 to 5 minutes and let out whatever was bothering me. I put all the sentence starts into the book because some people have a fear of the blank page. And you don't have to go in order. You can reuse them on a different day, and because your head is in a different place, so write different things. I just happened to open this book called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers, to page 106, 107. I'm going to read you the 4 sentence starts from this chapter, from this page. I have trouble telling you, dot, 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 when we were both younger, dot, 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 you used to need, dot, 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 and today you need, dot, dot, dot. And you just finish the sentence, write the next sentence, keep going, and you're journaling. One thing I probably should say, if you're going to Amazon, where they still have some books, by the way, you either want to type in, you want me to do what, B. Lynn Goodwin, or you want me to do what, journaling for caregivers. I swear to all of you, I checked this title out to make sure nobody else had it, but somehow I missed something. And if you tune into your imagination, you'll know that that title, you want me to do what, the primary title, could mean more than one thing. And I don't want to send you anywhere you don't feel comfortable. So put in the subtitle, Journaling for Caregivers, or put in my name, and the book will come up.
That's good to know. But I also want to let people know that your book is available to all the people that are listening on the call for a discounted price of $7.50, which I believe the Amazon price is $10.99.
Correct.
For $7.50, if you contact Lynn directly, and that's how you would get the special rate. So you need to send an email to Lynn, and so I'm going to give you her email address. I'm going to say it slowly, and I'll say it twice because it's got details here. It's lgood67334@comcast.net. So that's lgood67334@comcast, comcast.net. And so if you would send an email to Lynn at that email address, once she receives your request for the specially priced book, she'll send you an invoice. It will be a PayPal invoice. And as soon as PayPal notifies her that you've paid the invoice, she will send you the book at the special $7.50 price. So that's
And I should point out that the $7.50 includes shipping and handling. It's $3.95 for shipping and handling at any price on Amazon. So you are getting a bargain. And I'm happy to do it.
Does Amazon have it on the Kindle?
I am not sure, to be perfectly honest. They might have, because it's intended for a book you write in, they may not. I do know that Kate sells it as a as an e-book. I'm just going to check here at Amazon, if I can spell it one-handed. Amazon.com books, because it comes up really quickly on my computer because I go in there from time to time and just see
if you put
what
Kindle
they're having.
If you put Kindle in the search, it will bring up just the Kindle books, which are the e-books.
Oh. Okay. Kindle. But then I'd have to search for my title, right?
And then when it takes you into Kindle, yes, then you put the name of your book or your author or whatever.
Okay. I'm setting down the phone, and Kindle books were here. And then I'm going to put in, you want me to do what? Journaling for caregivers. Put a space between you and want. Click on go. And the little thing's going round and round. And yes, it is. I had no idea. Okay, that's a good deal, because, of course, you don't have to have those paper spaces there. I'm looking on my page, and it does not say Kindle, but I'm assuming if it came up with Kindle, it probably is available that way. Oh, tell the publisher I'd like to read this book on Kindle, and I guess they can convert it somehow. I don't know for sure. I can't guarantee that.
If it's an e-book, it can be sent out to anyone that owns the Kindle. You can receive it in seconds.
Okay, it is an e-book on tape publishing. So it should be available through Kindle then. And if you get a copy at my reduced rate or through Amazon and you would like to write a review, I would be thrilled and honored, even if you hated the book. I'd prefer it, of course, if you loved the book. But I have about a dozen reviews, and I'm always open to more.
Great.
All right. Well, one other thing that I want to be sure and say before we run out of time here today is that Lynn, we referred to this a little bit earlier, Lynn has been gracious enough to tell me that she'd like to work with NABBW to provide a 4-part workshop on journaling, which I believe that we're working on the details of how it's going to be handled right now, but it will probably be 4 weeks in September. So anybody who's on the call who's interested in knowing about the details of the workshop as soon as we have them worked out, if you would go to that, if you are online, you know, have the screen up where it shows the place where you can put the questions into the teleseminar here. Just go into that Q&A box on your computer screen and put in your name and a valid email address, and that way we will have a list of people that are interested in knowing about the workshop when we have the details ready. I know that one of the things that we're going to be doing with the workshop is that you'll be able to post your journal entries in a private area where Lynn will be able to see them, and then she'll be able to look at them and assist you with tell you what she likes about your writing, what's working, what moves her. She'll make personalized suggestions for things that you might write about in the future. I'm really excited about this program, and I wish that I had all the details worked out as we do this call this evening, but we're still working on that. So if you're interested, please put your name and email address into that Q&A box so that I can notify you when the event is starting to happen, which will be in September. And like I said, it'll be a 4-part workshop.
And if in the meantime you'd really like me to read a journal entry of yours, send it to me at my email address, lgood67334@comcast.net. Please put NABBW journal in the subject box if you happen to remember that, because that will help me to go through it right away and not say, oh, I don't know who this is from, and wait 3 days. I would love to respond to whatever you're writing. And I only say what I love in the writing because this is journaling. It's not supposed to be polished. It's supposed to be your exact truth at that exact moment and subject to change.
Absolutely.
Sound like a deal?
I hope it does, because yeah. I think it's fabulous.
Yes, and that includes you, Anne. If you would like a sample,
mm-hmm.
feel free to write something out. 1,500 to 1,500 words, send it to me. If you prefer to send it to me anonymously, I'll bet you have other email addresses that are not the one I know, which is the commercial one.
Right.
And you can make up a name. I'm not going to know the difference. It's not going to occur to me to investigate it. And you can just get an honest take as somebody who was on the call.
All right. Well,
and I won't know anybody else's email addresses, so you're completely anonymous with me. And I would really like to see what you're writing. And take courage and do it. And I hope you will.
I see that I've got a couple more questions here. We've got Deborah from the Savannah area has made a comment. She said, it seems like journaling would be a great way to document events that could be used in a memoir later. I also
True.
Like to make a daily blessing list.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes to the documenting events. Absolutely. Put the facts down now if you want to. And then you've got primary source facts there. And thank you for that was the other thing that came into my head and went right out about a way to use the journal is make a gratitude list. I make my written gratitude lists in my journal, and I make oral gratitude lists on my way to the dentist because it helps me to not think about the fact that I'm going to the dentist. Gratitude list is a wonderful thing. You list whatever you are grateful for. If you don't know where to start on a gratitude list, try going through the alphabet. Start with whatever letter you want. List something that starts with that letter that you're grateful for. However you arrive at that thing for that letter is fine, and creative spelling is totally allowed. And you can skip around and feel free to exclude Q, X, and Z because, I mean, if you can come up with something great, Q is always quiet. But that's about the only cute thing I can think of that I'm grateful for off the top of my head. You know, make up your own rules as you go, but yes, a blessing list or a gratitude list is a wonderful way to use the journal, so thank you for that. And you have one other question?
Yes, I have another question from Alicia who asked a question earlier. Alicia's from Dallas, and she
mm-hmm.
said, do you have any suggestions for taking our private thoughts in our journals to the public venue?
Yes, we do, and we're going to talk about it in the workshop. Blogging is one way to do it, but before you blog, you're going to want to read over what you've written. You may want to revise, expand on the message you're trying to get across, adjust names that you wouldn't want known by the public. You don't have to eliminate the name, just change to one that works better for you. And polish it up for professional, personal, public kind of use. And there'll be more details on that in the class. Or you can write to me about it. There's more to say on that. You want to make it accessible to everyone. And so you want to make sure your thoughts are clear, basically.
Okay. Does anyone else have a question?
Well, I'll be back next Wednesday.
I hear somebody talking in the background. I don't know if that's just as questions or just the fact that we've got the live call for everyone going on.
Sometimes he wants to stop by, but we're not here, you know.
Okay, I muted the call so that we can't hear those people that were talking in the background, but that does mean that it's hard for anybody to ask me any more, ask us any more questions. So given that we've run through our hour here, Lynn, why don't I just remind people that they can find more information about you at your website, writeradvice.com.
Click on the Journaling for Caregivers link. It's there in big letters when you go in.
All right. And we've told people about the special on the reduced price on the book, and we've told people again about put your name in the Q&A box if you're interested in making sure that we get you on the list to let you know when the workshop starts. So at that point, I think that we've probably covered anything, unless there's anything else, Lynn, that I haven't asked you that you'd like to be sure that we cover here.
Keep writing. Tell your story. Nobody can tell your story but you. You have a unique perspective in all the world, and if you don't tell your story, it remains untold for all of eternity.
Good point. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for being on the call. That's it for tonight. I will get information to – I will publicize it to everyone on the NABBW mailing list about the workshop when it comes up, but I just want to give first priority to the people that are on the call here tonight. So get your name and email address into the Q&A box there on that so that we can let you know as soon as possible. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight, and happy journaling.
Thank you so much, Anne, for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you for being my guest, Lynn.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.